StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Jörn from StartupRad.io. Here with you in Frankfurt, we would have loved to do a YouTube video with this interview right here, right now. But unfortunately, it turned out my camera just died on me and we could not fix it. So actually, I'm here doing just an audio only and I'm here with a guest.
Hi, everybody. This is Vishal. I'm the founder and CEO of Axelair, and it's a pleasure to be talking to you.
Completely my pleasure. As you guys cannot see, we're sitting here next to the windows and we have an amazing view over spring in Frankfurt with bright sunshine and all this stuff. So we are in a very good mood and it's really amazing here in the office, I gotta admit.
Thank you.
And you guys are actually doing a startup here, right?
Yes, so we have this startup based out of Frankfurt, and yeah, we do some exciting stuff.
You are not originally from Frankfurt. Can we first tell our listeners a little bit about you, how you actually got here, and what did trigger the idea of your startup right now? That would be, I think, the first step interesting for our listeners.
Sure. So I am originally from India. And I used to work for a very large global company in the U.S. before coming here. This was a technology company, and it was really nice working in California and Seattle before that. My previous employer did software consulting services, one of the biggest majors in the world. When I joined that company, it was a small company, and they could pick up very good people, and therefore they did very good projects in terms of quality. However, as the company grew in 2009, we were about 140,000 people globally.
Oh, okay.
However, I saw that more and more software projects were actually failing and not achieving their status goals, you know, in terms of quality, or essentially software projects were just screwing up. And what I realized that software on one hand is becoming really, really critical for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if this was the quality of software that was being developed in the world by the best technology companies, there is a problem. And there is a fact that in about 5 years, maybe seven, software is going to be in our bodies. And you don't want that software to crash as often as your phone does.
No, you really don't want it.
So that's what I'm saying, that even the biggest companies in the world with almost infinite resources and brand are struggling to write good software. And that was a challenge that my co-founder and I saw as an opportunity. You know, obviously, if software was not being written well, there were some problems in the tools and technology that was being used to develop software. And given this huge challenge that's coming up in the next 5 years, you know, we said, let's build a platform which will help people write better software. And that's our mission right now. It's really mission clean code. Just like how we have mission clean water, clean energy. We really want to help everybody on this planet write clean software. It's very important for us. Now, to answer your other question, why Frankfurt? Or why Germany? Good question.
And that's why I'm asking.
I think it was... So when I was working here with my previous employer, I had my network in Germany, and therefore it was a natural choice that when I decided to form this startup, it would be Frankfurt, because this is where I was working. Now, in hindsight, was that a good decision or not? Only time will tell. But there are two things that I have observed over the last 8 years. A startup is about 8 years. One is the German corporates, I think, are very underrated. The biggest German corporates like BMW, Volkswagen, Commerzbank, Continental, I think these are companies who actually support a lot of startups through projects and opportunities, which is very unique and often it's underappreciated. You know, people in the West, in America, often look down on Germany, saying you guys don't have the innovation spirit. Look at Silicon Valley. And I would like to contradict that and say, you know, I think the German corporates are the biggest champions for startups. On the other side, you have the investment environment around here, which I think is not proportionate to the capital that could be made available to the startups in Germany. And I think that something needs to be done there. I think that's, so these are my two observations that I have made. And to answer your question, why Germany? I would say, why not? You know, Germany was the startup nation after the war till almost 80s. And all the Mittelstands that were built and grew were actually startups. They were not built through processes.
What many listeners may not know, there was actually another startup age in Germany. The guys may know that Germany was once split in like hundreds of little kingdoms and all of this stuff. And then they were reunited 1871. And after that, there was actually a founding boom, which... for example, the Aktiengesellschaft, stock company was then introduced to Germany and everybody set up like a stock company, like later, dot-com companies like ICOs right now. And then surprisingly, it ended also in a crash. So Germany has some experience in that. They went through the cycle and they will go through the cycle again. But actually what you say, yeah, there was a real rebuild phase and then I think there was an earnings phase, and now the people who built up the companies after the war, they are in the process of retiring. So that's why there's a new generation of leaders coming in right now. You feel something of this?
I'm sorry to sound pessimistic here, but actually...
You're permitted to do that, don't worry.
No, I actually don't think so. If you look at, you know, the world is... There's a race... now happening globally for digital leadership. And I think America is definitely on pole position. No doubt about it. If you look at the infrastructure company, look at the email that you use, the products that you use. They are from Microsoft or Google. I mean, you don't use... name one cloud leader from Europe or Germany that we here in Germany use in our day-to-day business world.
T-Systems?
I think they have an opportunity.
Yeah, okay.
I think they have an opportunity. They have certain legacy challenges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come from a time of monopoly. But I think they're trying with the new organization.
We may tell our listeners here that T-Systems used to be part of Deutsche Telekom, used to be the monopoly company providing everything related to telephone and communication services in Germany back in the days. That's where the T is coming from. And actually, what I just learned a few weeks ago, that here the Rhein-Main area, including T-Systems, Software AG and SAP, it's like measured by revenue. It was... a few years back, the second biggest cluster in terms of software revenue just behind Silicon Valley in the world, meaning ahead of India, ahead of the clusters in China, ahead of even the other places in the United States. So they're actually doing it. But as I always love to say, Germany is pretty bad in marketing.
No, I don't deny. I think it's not a bad thing to understate your services. But if you really look at impact, you know, mm-hmm. look at impact. There is a company that America throws up now in the recent past, China, that wasn't even alive 10 years back. I mean, mm-hmm. every 5 years, there is a company that comes. I mean, Google, people think Google is giant. Google is barely a 15-year-old company.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Look at Tencent. Look at Alibaba. Look at the big war... e-commerce war happening in India with Flipkarts and stuff. These are companies that weren't around 10 years. These companies have, and there will be a company, there is probably a company being formed today in America or China, which is going to be a market leader in what it does in 5 years. And the reason is twofold. I think it's not competency. I think if you look at, and I purely talk from software, I don't have capability, Germans or from Germany in the open source world of software, Germany is among the top top three contributors to open source. So if you look at GitHub, I mean, that's the GitHub data that I'm looking at, which is a popular repository of software data. And if you see the geos from where the commits happen, the contribution happens to open source, Germany's in the top three.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? There is tremendous talent in this country in software. They're a global leader in open source movement.
And they take advantage of their many days of vacation as well?
I think that's a great thing. I think people make fun of Germans, but I think it is a very, very good... And this is the nice thing about Germany, and I would encourage everyone to really consider Germany as an option for coming to work or setting up a company, because in today's times when everyone is running and killing themselves, I think Germany still has this very good human value, respect, which for people working, and I think that's tremendous. That is really, really very, very good. However, that has to be coupled with a bit of an animal spirit of creativity and innovation and entrepreneurship, which can be supported. I think the talent is here. I think the German talent is as good as any in the world, I would say, top notch. The capital is here, but entrepreneurship is a risk game.
Yes.
And you cannot assume that you will do entrepreneurship like you do banking. It is, mm-hmm. Banking is all about covering risks, ensuring that the money is safe, everything is compliant. Entrepreneurship is just the opposite. You have to take a risk and you have to be ready to fail. And that is not here. And that is the problem that I see with the investment community here. There is this fear. The investment is done, but then they almost take it like a bank. And that doesn't work. If you look at companies, the average... An idea, a bold idea to function needs a certain amount of capital and runway, which is just not available here. And that has to change.
Mm-hmm.
That has to change. And Uber, in its infancy, would never get funded in Germany. Never. And Airbnb would be looked down upon. I can guarantee you, if Airbnb guys are pitching to VCs here, they would say, you guys are going to break 10,000 laws, and you guys are going to be absolutely unsuccessful, and you guys are crazy. But because you don't move the world by following what's happened, you move the world by changing it. I'm not saying these are beacons, but they have created an enterprise. They're creating jobs. They are creating tax revenues.
I was just talking a few months back to an entrepreneur here in Germany. They actually started a company, and their name was protected, I believe, in the United States or something for a porn website. And every German investor was shying away. And the American investor said, we give you the money, but make a deal with those guys. And I said, that's an amazing marketing opportunity. They could give out vouchers to all the visitors of their website.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, I find, and I think there's a reason for it. It's changing now. But I think there's a reason for it. The traditional VCs here were not run by entrepreneurs, even today. There are a few, I think, and full disclosure, I think the VC that has invested in our company, Capnamic, I think they are run by really smart guys. Olaf and Jorg and Christian, I think they're an exception. But most of the big VCs here, I'll probably be whacked for this, but they're not run by entrepreneurs. They're run by consultants or investment professionals. In America, most of the successful VCs, Sequoias and Axels, have been founded by entrepreneurs. They made money and they are giving it back. And that's what entrepreneurship is. When you support a startup, you have to share your experience in your entrepreneurial life. And that's what startups need a lot. They need support. They need someone who understands that startups are not always sunny days like today. And there will be downsides and upsides. And only someone who's been an entrepreneur, who's been through the trough and the high, can be a good guide and an investor. And that's changing now. I think a lot of successful people in Germany, entrepreneurs who have sold their companies and are becoming VCs, I think they will bring this to the table. But that was the reason. I think there's too much of conservatism in investment here. Maybe I'm not a VC. Maybe they have their own guidelines, so they can't do it because they all, at the face of it, really smart people, and they probably know what they're doing. But that has to change. That really has to change.
No, don't worry. Go ahead with it. I'm a consultant myself. I get frequently approached by VCs and other investors. And actually, they, I do believe the people they are hiring are dependent employees. And it's like there's a nice saying to get your head around what we're talking about. In the investment community where I work usually, they say nobody was ever fired for buying IBM, meaning a big market leader taking no risk. And that's one of the approaches many consultants do as well, because if they take a risk for their company and then they fail, that could ruin their career. So they are, I wouldn't say they're not risk takers, but they are usually discouraged from taking risk, and they mentally take this to the next job with them. Not saying that consultants cannot be good investors, not saying entrepreneurs would be the only successful investors, but I do believe there's something about what you're saying that there is right now, from my feeling, there's like, I say, a generation missing from entrepreneurs who made it successfully and then seeding other businesses, especially here in Rhein-Main. We had a very nice lot of exits to Daimler, to Bosch and the other companies, but actually it's not enough yet here.
You're right. I think, and I sense the, I mean, maybe I'm not meeting the right people, but when you create a company and you have to believe that you can make an impact globally, and not that I am creating the company to be bought over by Daimler or Microsoft. You should have an aspiration that I would want to be the next Microsoft. And that is happening. I think I see a few startups now having leaders and founders who have that mission. It's not there, but it's not there in the numbers that one needs to drive a revolution in entrepreneurship and innovation. I think people have to realize that they have to let go of their holy cows, as they say in India.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same in Germany.
You have to let go of your holy cows. What got you here will not take you forward. And today, people should be in mission mode. Because the future of leaders, of future global giants are going to be countries that are leaders in technology, digital technology. It's the economic might will move to where digital leadership is. And that is not seen here. And I'll take a very simple example. The cost of startups here is so high. If you're a startup, maybe I'm very naive and people might just say, again, you're touching on holy cows, but the whole fees, legal fees, compliance fees, notarization fees, paperwork, tax compliance, the biggest item on a startup's balance sheet is the compliance cost, which is not there in India, it's not there in America, it's not there in China. It's getting much better. Why is that?
But I gotta admit, I was doing an interview with Liz from Bliss Chocolate. She actually set up her startup here in Frankfurt as well. And she said, okay, there's a lot of compliance and legal costs, especially if you first set up the business. But the big advantage of having it here in Germany is you once set it up and then it goes like clockwork.
Right.
And in other countries, you still have to do this, you then have to do that. And you're running around much more. You don't have the costs associated with it, but you're spending more time. And in Germany, if you once set it up, it takes a little bit longer, but then it goes like clockwork.
Yeah, I mean, understand that, but when you're starting a young company, right, the mm-hmm. thing that you probably should be focusing on is your product,
yes,
sales. And if you're given and if you have to spend it, I mean, I understand this is very good, but it is not in the spirit of entrepreneurship. I'm just saying it's good, it has its merits, because obviously everything has to be compliant. You don't want people having an animal spirit here doing startups, but if you really, you have to change. You have to really change and move forward, because the next generation, the millennials, are very different, you know. And that, I mean, look at the broadband speed in Germany. Let's start. I mean, if you want a digital startup, you need good broadband, not in big towns alone. You need it in that, in the small town, in where someone can start a young company from his or her house, compared to South Korea. And I think these, I'm not saying these are negative things, but I'm saying if we aspire to be the best in the world, if we aspire to be market leaders, if we aspire to create 100 SAPs, today we just have one SAP, which was formed in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the next SAPs? I mean, if you just look at the brand perspective, right? In terms of car companies, you don't have one Mercedes. You have a BMW, you have an Audi, you have a VW, you have a Bosch. You have so many digital giants, global giants. These are giants not just in Germany. You go to any part of the world, Mercedes is known.
Mm-hmm.
BMW is known. Audi is known.
Porsche.
Porsche is known. I mean, everybody. SAP? What else? Why?
Yeah, that's a problem.
So, and that's what I'm saying. And it's you know, we can be sitting here and saying, we pat our back, saying, you're great. Yes, you should change when you're at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I think Germany is a very good position. I think the economy is doing great. It's a very stable economy, excellent education, world-class infrastructure. You have everything set for you. It's an open goal. Go shoot it. We're just sitting there on the sidelines having our beers and bratwurst, which is great. Someone's going to come and take the ball. Today, there's no competition. This is where you should slay it. This is where you should create 100 SAPs here, unleash the animal spirit. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, good leaders take opportunities at the top. You innovate at the top. Netflix is a great example. He cannibalized his own business, Reed Hastings, and said, you know what? I think DVD business is going to go out of stock. Amazon reinvents itself every day. That's how you drive a country. You need that spirit to drive innovation. And I mean, I think Europe needs that leadership, and Germany is in the right position to provide it. Someone has to really kick the ball in the goal. That's what I feel. And no one's kicking the ball. It's set for them. It's an open penalty.
So we're looking for some soccer players here in the startup scene.
Yes. In the political scene, we need some great football champions. We need the German, you know, they're the world champions in soccer. They're a great football team. We need the same leadership politically. We need the same leadership economically. We need the same leadership in the community, investment community. And I think we'll get there. There is nothing that stops. The best research in the world. MP3 was invented in Germany, but who made the most money out of it? The Americans.
Yep.
Dolby was invented in Germany, but who made the most money out of it? Americans. So if I was someone from an outer planet, I would say, oh, this is great. So the Americans just look at the best German invention, and now the Chinese are doing it. And then they, once all the hard work and the money has been spent by the taxpayers, they just buy it.
Yep.
So are we the breeding ground for innovation for the rest of the world, or shouldn't we also monetize it for our own economy? And that's what I'm saying, that someone has to see. I don't sense urgency here. And people are very cautious. It's almost like, and it is a cultural thing. I think that is understandable. But I think, and I come back to the argument that the German corporates are the shining light. And I think BMW and Mercedes and Bosch's are trying to innovate. But you also need digital leaders. You need to span five SAPs, from Frankfurt, from Munich, from Berlin. And that's how you will grow and have the leadership. And that's all I'm trying to encourage. We're trying to do that in our own little way through my company.
And we'll get back to part two of this interview talking about your company, okay?
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.